Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th. The Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Welcome to Break a Wish, the podcast where all your dreams come true, but with terrible, ironic consequences. I'm your host, Maddox Campbell. Joining me this time, we have Marcel St. Pierre.
Hello.
And Megan McConnell.
Hello.
And the movie we're breaking down is Blumhouse's Fantasy Island in 2020. They put the production company in the name of the film on the screen and everything. A remake of the classic Fantasy Island TV show. I'll ask my guests here, what is your experience both with the new movie and with the original? Maybe we'll start you off with Marcel.
Hey, nothing says quality more than when a studio definitely wants to make sure that their name is on the project at the top of the thing so it can't be confused with anybody else's Fantasy Island. My experience, wow. Well, with the Blumhouse, like I said, I only watched this because you asked me to watch it. It kept being suggested to me, I guess because I'm of the demographic that does remember the original show quite well. So I expected to thoroughly hate it, but I found myself actually not taking it too seriously, kind of laughing at bits that were meant to be scary, and actually enjoying Michael Pena like crazy, because I also felt he was like, nobody's ever going to see this.
I'm just going to be concerned. Yeah.
He just sort of, I was like, oh, we taped the rehearsal. Cool. Moving right along. There's literally no direction, or everybody is being directed by different directors.
Yeah, it definitely gets a sense of that. Did you say, had you seen the series originally?
Oh, yeah. I watched the series like every Saturday night religiously because this was pre being able to go out. So I was like Saturday nights, man. You'd watch The Love Boat and you'd watch Fantasy Island.
What age would you have been while watching those, if you dare to reveal?
Oh God, I guess the show started. Yeah, the show started 77, so I think I was like 10.
Okay.
So like 10 to like 14 years old, I think I would have watched it in and out, depending on whether or not our cable was working.
Right. Because I'd never seen it. It has some meme presence in the culture that I'm aware of, but I've never seen an actual episode of the show. I have no idea what it is other than it's some sort of episodic show where they go through people's fantasies, and I assume there's some magic.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much the formula was intact in the movie for sure. It's like everybody comes on the island with a wish, but it's like a monkey's paw. There's unintended circumstances. You got to be careful what you wish for. It was never as dark as this movie was for, ABC broadcast TV reasons. But it always had like a good sort of moral message, and generally always had happy endings because people would figure out, oh, I was asking for the wrong thing for the wrong reason, so therefore I change my mind for this reason. And then Mr. Rourke, Ricardo Montalban, just grants your wish, and Hervé Villechaize says a couple of jokes throughout the show, and it's your chance to watch, a rotating cadre of guest stars from every TV show you're also watching. Episodic television. Neither of you have seen the show then, the original show?
No.
I watched an episode after, 2 days ago.
You'd seen the horror film.
Yeah. And I might have seen it as a child, like if it was one of those rerun things, because I did watch a lot of, like 80s and 70s television growing up with my dad and just the people around me. Kids shows were never on. So, I saw a lot of things like that, but, it's definitely like a more, there's a more wholesome feeling at the end to everything. It's like you learned your lesson, you grew a little bit, and now you're a better person for it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was very much like one to grow on. It was, Love Boat was the same basic formula. It was just it was on a boat and not quite so supernatural. What I did love between the two that they shared was that, that Mr. Rourke was intact, and that they actually tried to give an origin story for Mr. Rourke.
And the origin story for Mr. Rourke, and then and tattoo. Almost as a joke, an origin story for tattoo.
As a tag in, which I was like, wah, wah. But I was I actually didn't see it coming, even though he teased earlier in the movie, I got a really dumb tattoo.
Yes. Yeah. And they called him T. And I was just like, wait, what?
So I was watching with my roommate, Paul JP, who's been on the podcast as well. And he saw that coming about halfway through the film. He started putting those together.
Right.
The tattoo of it all. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I think there's an earlier part where it was that character, Brax, who yells, the plane, when it's coming.
Oh, how did I not? I didn't connect that, honestly. Oh, my God.
That's right.
That's insane.
I got geeked out by Rourke's dying wife, who said it at the very beginning too. So I was like, oh, they're starting full on. Character has terminal cancer. Okay, well, that's dark.
Yeah.
Right away. Yeah. Way to go, Blumhouse. Okay.
Well, I remember, even though I don't remember if I've actually seen the show as a kid, I remember my stepsister and so many people quoting the plane every single, throughout the years of my childhood. It's something that's very common. And I knew it was from that actor, but I had only seen him in the James Bond movie, Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, right.
So I never made the connection, I guess, with Fantasy Island. I feel like I probably was watching the Bond movie over and over again, waiting for that to happen, and it never did. So
it makes as much sense there, that a plane would come and attack or save someone.
Because it was kind of an island there too, so.
Yeah.
Different fantasy, though.
Yeah. I think that one was a death ray or something. I'll try a quick synopsis of the story just in case anyone didn't watch along with us and wants to know roughly what was going on in this film. We have our main protagonist characters who have all been invited to Fantasy Island before it officially opens as a resort, saying that they won a contest and they each are going to get to experience their fantasies, but they all assume it's either going to be hired actors or holograms or animatronics. But one by one, they get given their fantasies, which turn out to both be very, very real, and sinister things start turning dark on them. They start seeing creepy mud ghosts. They start seeing the guy living in the woods with a knife in his teeth, just like jumping out at people. And eventually each of their fantasies start turning dark in their own very specific ways. Eventually the fantasies start to sort of overlap onto each other. And it's revealed that they are not separate fantasies, but actually someone else's revenge fantasy on all of them, about someone that they let die. But Mr. Rourke, who is running this island to try to keep his wife alive, because it's got mystical actual magic in the heart of the island in a weird crystal shard that leaks dark water.
Yeah, very 90s. Like,
that's a little unclear, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The mechanism's a little unclear. Decides that he doesn't want to be evil anymore. He allows his wife, who's fakely alive, to finally rest in peace. And they manage to stop the person who's trying to get them all killed. I won't relieve that twist yet. And they all manage to escape okay, except for because one of them did die during all the horror. One of them stays behind so that he can wish to have them go out into the world okay. Happy-ish ending.
Happy-ish. Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of holy exposition, Batman, all the way through the movie. Suddenly it's yes. like... Rourke's power comes from that fountain. I'm like, huh? Yeah.
But then they still don't explain the fountain.
Nope.
And it's so they over-explain things without actually explaining anything. Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to explain things. Yeah.
Prequel. I smell prequel.
Oh, yeah. And as soon as like the tattoo part, I was like, oh, this is set up so they can do more.
But it had some early Lost feeling to it where they're like, everything totally. They explain just raises more questions, and you keep on like getting the tension of like, well, I want to know what that's all about, but yeah. each answer just raises more questions.
I almost felt that they were trapped within that Lost world now where pop culture so knows Lost.
Yeah,
I just felt myself trailing into it going, oh, this is borrowed from that. And it's funny because when I was watching Lost, I never thought of Fantasy Island.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone was getting their wishes granted on Fantasy Island. It's more of the way that things are, they're explaining the mechanisms are all, well, the reason for the ghost monster is because of science right. team. But why science team? Well, science team because of billionaire. Like everything just raises another question, which works really good for the start.
Yeah, they sort of did that in this too. It was like, you know, oh, Dr. Death, why? Oh, yes. Because torture. Oh, weird Vietnam era looking dude who says he's a PI trailing what? Why?
Yeah, the guy PI looked more Vietnam than the actual like military scenes.
Vietnam
I know, yeah. The Vietnam guys all look like a boy band for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like for a second, I thought there was like one of the guys in the Vietnam camp who was kind of a dick and like took a picture of him with
his dad. The camera guy? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For some reason in my brain, I thought that was going to turn out to be the guy in the woods. Like years later, like these fantasies are so real that like, I'm still stuck here in the woods because you wished for this and time is weird.
Yeah, he's the only one that wasn't really intertwined with their story. And they brought up like his daughter. There were so many things that were brought up that they didn't really complete. And so they should have just maybe cut it out.
Yeah,
like, I think it did a good job. I think the film did a good job of building tension and intrigue for the first and second acts. Like I was curious what was going on. I was...
Yeah,
invested of like how are they going to pull that off? How are they going to do this? All that.
Yeah,
I don't think it stuck the landing. I think when you didn't get all these answers, you just went like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah,
like I think The biggest thing for me was, you know, they have that moment where Mr. Rourke decides, okay, yeah, I'm going to go back and help them. He's going to let go of his wife. Big, big heartfelt moment there. When he goes back, all he does is like, you know what to do. And someone else throws a grenade. Like, he doesn't do anything.
Well, first, before that, he goes downstairs to stop them. Don't you dare throw that grenade. Yeah. Goes upstairs, sees his wife, goes back downstairs immediately. Goes, okay, throw the grenade. Like, terrible writing. I'm sorry. Terrible writing. Terrible editing. There was no need for that middle scene in that case. It was such a waste of time. It was like every improv scene I'm in.
Yeah. Cut to.
Yeah. I leave and I go out for no reason other than it amuses me.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of that where it's just like this scene, this line, none of this is related to anything. This could be very easily cut out and the movie would be better for it.
Mm-hmm. But, oh, another thing that's like half explained is his henchmen, what I call the lurch staff, because they all kind of look like
this. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, well, they all stay with here and they're loyal to me because I give them a taste of whatever their fantasies are.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
What,
like a taste opposed to the full fantasy.
Yeah, and yeah, the whole point was you have to go through it completely and the island won't let you otherwise his wife dies. Like,
and sorry, I'm really worried about what those guys' fantasies are. Like, they're so creepy.
I didn't mean a taste of fantasy. Sorry, I meant a little bit of meth. Just meth.
Yeah, maybe that's all it is.
They meth did mention that was one of the options they were considering at the beginning. They're like, maybe it's drugs.
I hated that. It was charming at first, but then I'm like, okay, stop telling me what you think it is because it's never that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
They all seemed like they were talking off the top as if they've all seen 7 seasons of Fantasy Island.
Yeah. Yeah, there was heart was basically missing from everything. The dialogue, the story, the chemistry between the actors. Like Ryan Hansen and Tattoo, who was also in Silicon Valley, they were okay together, but it wasn't the greatest.
Yeah, no.
I thought they were fun together.
They were fun, but the Caucasian brother was a dick.
Yeah, yeah. That actor always plays douchebags. Like, he was in Party Down. I almost didn't recognize him.
Okay.
As like the handsome model slash actor slash musician character. So he definitely kind of plays like a type.
It felt like he was doing a loose Will Arnett. Like, he's like, I'm trying to do a Will Arnett character, but I'm not going all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Arnett 10 years ago would have been fantastic in that role, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Maggie Q did a great performance, I thought, for what she did, because it was the only storyline that was actually, I thought, pure drama in a way.
It was fleshed out.
Yeah.
It felt almost out with the rest of it, because I guess you can kind of look at each of the other like fantasies going in a different genre, right? Okay, so Maggie Q is Gwen. Hers is straight up drama and like almost melodrama, because like, I wish I had accepted a proposal.
Yeah.
I live with guilt. I want a daughter.
Yes.
The bros basically just wanted a really big party and to be baller.
Yes.
So that's just a party film is what they got. Mm-hmm. Soldier wanted a war film, which is a very unhealthy thing to want.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I was immediately concerned. It's like, oh, your regret is that you didn't go to war and didn't get to kill people. And now you want to, that's not healthy.
Yeah. Like play a video game. Like he kind of says, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. The PI wanted his daughter back. I guess he doesn't really count as, he never got invited there. So he doesn't get a fantasy.
Yeah. Like what?
It's unclear. Unclear. And Mel wanted to bully, though. Maybe that's a double fake out. Cause she's the killer.
Shh. Don't tell her.
Don't listen.
It's a secret.
I know. I will say for what they did trying to revamp an old franchise from TV, I was kind of like thinking this, the way it's shot and the way it's written, certainly the way it's written, I was like, it's as good as episodic TV.
Yeah, you know, definitely felt more like a television show.
A trash thing that you'd go, eh, it's not really as good as the original, but I'm still going to watch it. And I did really like actually the the way that they did make that attempt to make all the stories overlap,
like, yes,
yeah, run yeah. together. That felt like a very much like a, oh, they might do that at the end of season one to make sure that they get a season two.
Yeah, if they had made like a limited series on Shudder or Netflix, I think the quality would have matched it. But as a standalone movie, it just felt it's definitely missing a lot.
I think you said it earlier. I think
some of the things could have been escalated a little too. Mm-hmm. Like, I liked when they started blending them together. I thought that was good, but I felt like there was a missed opportunity where, like, hey, we're going to raid this compound as soldiers. Yeah. And the guy's like, oh, our compound's getting raided. I would have loved if, like, the soldiers were sent in to get the brothers. Like,
yeah.
If that was a conflict between them that they didn't realize what they were doing until halfway through, right? Like,
Yeah.
Because did they even say why they were there? Like, why they were infiltrating the building?
They said they were in some country to rescue some American civilians.
They thought they were in Venezuela.
Venezuela, yeah. As soon as I heard, it's like, oh, his dad helped a coup against a democratically elected leader, probably. Like, his dad was probably a bad guy. Like, he was doing black ops for America.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Venezuela. He's not a good guy. He's not a hero.
And that's why we've never heard of it, because it's dark, dark shit.
Yeah, it's not like, and again, that's the thing they could have gone into, right? Like, the idea that, you know, they made it the thing of like, oh, maybe he would as a coward. If he knew he was going to die, he wouldn't have gone in. But I'm like,
yeah, he wouldn't have been deserted.
A darker thing that he wasn't a deserter, but like the heroic thing he did was actually terribly unheroic and he shouldn't be lauded for it.
Yeah,
for his age, like what year would it have been when he was like 10 years old, like 1985 or something?
Oh yeah,
I don't know. So, I can't do the math on it.
If you want to look at what you know what America was doing, it was all Central American stuff that we still don't know anything about yet. You know,
it was supporting terrible militaristic overthrows of like communist leaning or socialist governments because they were so scared of that because it was the height of the Cold War, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scary stuff.
Hard to like the character of Patrick when he wants to be a murderer soldier and his dad definitely did black ops.
And he turns out to have been just a sort of a cowardly cop.
And a cowardly cop. Such an unlikable character. Like every stack they put on him makes him a worse person.
He still has so much therapy and we still have to do so much to like him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the only real likable character is Gwen.
She's the one who gets tortured, right?
Oh, no. One that wants to be a mom. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No. Sloane's not likable either. She's definitely still a bad person.
Yeah.
Sloane is the torturee in Mel's fantasy, who, when introduced, does the worst game of hide and go seek ever, of hiding behind a desk that doesn't have a back to it.
Yes,
like right off the top. Yeah.
That's like the first laugh of the film for me is like, that's not a desk you can hide behind, and definitely not like that.
Yeah, and it's such a big place.
There's so many hiding places. I love that one line too. They were going, we just need lines of dialogue here. So you say this in the earpiece. She just goes, I don't want to be negative here, but we're all going to die. It's like throwaway dialogue. Come on. And she didn't say it very upset either.
Yeah, just like, hey, just so you know, dead.
I mean, I'm more upset about how negative I'm being as opposed to the fact that we're all going to die. I'm not even upset about being negative. I'm probably a buzzkill, but I've had a tough day.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, Gwen is pretty likable in that, like, she seems to be trying to figure out what's going on and she doesn't seem enticed by her fantasy.
Yeah. And right? There's nothing selfish.
Yeah, it is. Well, she wants her life to be back on track. She was in a bad place.
Yeah.
Because she made a mistake.
Yeah. It's a missed opportunity, essentially.
Missed opportunity because of sort of personal depression, I guess.
Yeah.
The one that got away.
She is responsible for a death, but it is like...
But so many of them really were. Like, that's the one thing. Like, really, that girl did a lot of research to figure out all the little... happened to sort of be involved. Like, how do you find all that out? Especially the cop. Like,
Yeah, the cop is the hardest one because, yeah, you can figure out that his roommates ran away on him because she would have known his roommates because they were friends. And Gwen started the fire. So she might have shown up in the newspaper as like a downstairs neighbor started the fire or something like that. And you can figure out who that is.
Wouldn't it have been a much better idea if she's the one that's going to go through all this trouble to do this revenge thing, that at the, like, she's the one that somehow starts the island, and that Mr. Rourke himself is one of the first guests on the island. She ends up dying stupidly because she's a bad person. And in the end, then Tattoo and Rourke have to stay on the island and let everybody else go.
There's at least
I'm
a
just
reason
to send that in. Right. I'm just going to send that in to the producers and go, okay, we're reimagining your reimagined movie here. And
first,
I did a little television show.
That's
right. I did a little research on this here too. Actually, I didn't do that at all. It's just because I watched it on Prime.
Oh, yeah.
And it says that Jason Blum from, I guess, Blumhouse wanted Nicolas Cage to play Mr. Rourke.
They do a lot of work together. Yeah.
That would not be the right choice at all.
No.
I mean,
especially because he's supposed to be understated. Like, that's the whole point.
And also South American.
Yes. Yeah. That too.
Even though his last name is Rourke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they did a TV remake of this for at least a season, I think. And it was, what's his name? Wasn't it Malcolm McDowell who played Rourke?
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He is such a natural villain, though. Like, you would not be...
Well, it was super dark as well, too. And I ended up not watching it at all for... I don't know why. I guess I had a life. But I remember thinking, oh, if you're going to do a dark version of this, he's for sure a great choice.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch that now.
Yeah. Yeah, if you Google the streaming services, it's there somewhere.
Yeah, awesome.
I think he might just be too dark for me, though, because, again, he's so obviously dark. Like, that's the thing. Malcolm McDowell has made money off being a guy who you see in a scene, and even if he's doing everything nice, you're like, oh, but that's going to be the bad guy at the end of this, right? Like, it's Malcolm McDowell.
Totally.
But younger people don't know him, so it could work depending on what year it came out. But
you don't need to know Malcolm McDowell. You feel it in his face.
Young people know him from Home Alone 5.
Oh my God.
There's 5.
I didn't know it went that far.
Oh, there's 5. I've had to watch them all.
Michael Peña is someone who you instinctively want to trust. He's like a likable guy.
Yeah, he's got a warmness to him.
I love Michael Peña. Yeah, for sure.
I agree that I feel like he wasn't either directed to give his all or bothering to give his all in this one. Like, it felt like he could have thrown a little more juice into it. But
I think it may have been one of those things where the director just said, like, this is super stylized and go for it. And then I get the sense that there were probably bigger fish to fry in the directing thing, where the guy just said, I'm not even going to worry about Michael Peña. I'm just going to let him do what he does. Yeah. But
and
sadly,
at least
I think
it sort of made sense.
Yeah, it did a little bit. I think the choice to just be, understated and a little bit glazed over a lot of the time might have felt like the right choice. Clinical is, for sure. And but ultimately, ugh.
Yes.
Yeah. It kind of felt like he had been doing this for longer than it was a little unclear how long he had been doing it, but there was like a sense of like, I know. I mean, you guys might die, but man, I've seen some worse. I've seen worse fantasies than this already. So whatever.
Yeah. Well,
what's
they did
stopping
have
us from suing you. Well, you're not going to remember it.
Oh. Yeah. Funny thing. People seem to think it's more of a dream. It's like a dream. You don't always remember things fully. And you're like, what? That's when the drugs come in, I guess. They get a roofie with their like send-off cocktail.
That's not a good explanation. Like, okay, well then why are people going to have a fantasy they don't get to keep?
What's his business model? Yeah. That's a very well-kept place. Like, how is he, is it all Facebook ads? Like, how is he getting people out there? If they don't remember it, they certainly...
Part of the island magic.
They were asking for Yelp reviews.
I did like the line. It was like one... it's like a 1-star review on Yelp.
Yeah.
1-star is still pretty good for what you just went through.
And you still get attention for it. So 1-star is better than no star.
Hold up.
Hey everyone, Maddox popping in here for just a moment to recommend another podcast you might want to check out. The Ongoing Comic Discussion Podcast is a weekly show where host and comic lover Tess dives into a new comic story with her special guests every week. Whether you're a grizzled comic veteran or brand new to the medium and don't know where to start, there's something for everyone on OCD. It's all about having fun discussions, sharing a love of comic books, and maybe even learning something along the way. This show is part of the Brain Freeze Podcast Network, so you can check out this and other great shows wherever you get your podcasts or at brainfreezepodcast.com. Okay, back to the show. Let's try to make this a little personal. I think we've gone through a lot of this and we've got a little time left. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think you would try to do on Fantasy Island?
Oh, God. That might be too personal.
You can be vague about it.
What was the comment somebody made? So what are most of the fantasies? And he goes, oh, mostly sex stuff.
Yeah, mostly the weird sex stuff.
So, I mean, just one, mostly sex stuff. Sure. Why not? That's really low impact. Ready?
I mean, we all have things throughout our lives that we sort of like regret or wish we hadn't done, or like, who was that person who did it? I think the only thing would be like a very boring thing, which is because of my anxiety I've had like my whole life. It's held me back from things because I just tried to ignore it and then did nothing instead. So if I could go back to, like everyone says, like a younger age and start over again, I would do this. Like just one of those simple, like everyone kind of like, oh, well, it was such an easier time back then. Like it wasn't an easier time for me, but if I knew what I know now, in regards to anxiety and pushing through it, what would my life look like?
Yeah.
So I'm going to clarify the rules as they've sort of been presented in this film, just to make sure that this still might be it. This still might be yours, but it does seem like you get a weekend of whatever it is. And then when you leave the island, that doesn't stay. So you just want to experience life as if you had taken all those chances for like one weekend, or do you actually want to reset your life to as if you had taken those chances?
It would be like a reset. Yeah. So like the consequences could very easily be like, I'm a horrible person, like an egomaniac, and like I have no real close relationships because of it, and blah blah blah. Like I can definitely see it going poorly.
I don't think those would stick. So I think that would almost still be fun. Like if you just got to be like, if my pitch was to go and be the famous actor that I've been trying to be this whole time, to be that for a weekend, even if like it turns out like, yeah, and you alienated all your friends, I'm like, oh, well, I mean, when I leave this island, all my friends won't be alienated anymore. So fuck them for a weekend. It's fine. I get to be a star for a weekend.
So it could be like your friend tries to kill you because
A
person to them. Because there's always something kind of like bordering on your life.
Yeah. Well, I think I'd still learn the lesson from it. But then I'd also be like, but yeah, like I think if I had gone into life as being a professional actor, I'd also probably have at some point gotten a professional trainer. And any of my friends tried to kill me, I think I could take them.
Well, we're automatically assuming that we go on this weekend and someone's going to try to kill you.
Like it would be like the fantasy island zombie of them tries to kill me.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like a heartfelt thing of, no, Andrea, you have betrayed me and are trying to kill me. I mean, she might try to kill me anyway.
She would anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that's nothing. But someone tries to kill me and I'd be like, yeah, okay, but it's not real you. So step back.
I mean, I think I would try to just game the system crazily by just going like something dumb like, I wished when that really smart guy in university had wanted to talk to me about stocks and investing that I would have paid attention and would have put it all down on Apple and just stayed there until right now because Apple stock is insane right now.
Yeah.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah.
Really?
No, the same guy also – in university enigmatically said to me one time, you know, I was in Calgary all summer and I took improv classes. Do you know what improv is? And I literally had no idea what improv was. And he said, yeah, it's just, you know, you just make stuff up and it's all comedy and you're pretty funny and fast. And I think we should start an improv club. And I was like, okay, whatever. He was just an odd guy. And we never got around to doing it. I just, I just sort of held him back sort of at a distance, not because he didn't have some redeeming qualities or anything like that, but I was also like you. So I had anxiety and all of it was social anxiety. So it would be like a lot of, if anybody really wanted to be my friend, I was so suspicious.
Yeah. Same. Same. Yeah.
It's the strangest thing. So it would take me a while to break through those things. And typically I would make friendships with that would be short because I would make friendships with the wrong people, the popular people. And
yeah.
And go, oh, right. They have moved on. And why am I hurt again?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very same.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah. So you're saying if you had started an improv troupe with this guy who'd taken one improv class while on vacation in Calgary and you who at the time had seen no improv whatsoever, had formed a duo in wherever you were living at the time, that probably would have been a bad experience.
Well, he did two things, right? He talked to me about improv and he talked to me about investing. I ignored both things. So I think we'd have had a shitty improv troupe, but I'd be rich.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
I was like, that could have burned you to the idea of improv because it could have gone so poorly that you'd not have improv in your life now.
I think that's it. I think if I had done improv a lot sooner, because I did stand up earlier, I was interested in doing stand up, but improv really didn't happen for me till I moved to Toronto. I think it was just one of those things that I couldn't see the benefit of making shit up. Why? so much room for failure. And now, of course, I'm like, sweet, sweet failure. Give it to me. Right.
I guess I had like a stocky one too. Like I remember when Beyond came out and they were about to go public, telling Andrea that they were going public and that it would be a good investment and that I was considering it. And I had a little bit of savings at the time, you know, pre-nail times. And I made an appointment with the bank and I looked into other ways of doing it as well. And then I guess my anxiety or whatever it was, because I hadn't invested before, just like bailed on it. And then Andrea did invest in it. Ooh. And it's still going up right now. So I'm just like Beyond Meat is very popular. Like that.
And they exploded shortly after you started saying it was about to explode.
Yeah. So I should have listened to myself.
$100 at one point.
Pardon?
Wasn't it insane? Like something like $300?
Yeah. Like it went from, I think they were selling it for like $65 when I had looked into it, and it jumped quite a bit. Like,
wow.
You're welcome, Andrea.
Yeah.
So, should make a commission off of this.
Like most other things, I only found out about Beyond Meat when I saw it in the supermarket, and then it's way too late.
Way too late, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think everyone is doing Fantasy Island a little bit wrong, and here's why. let me point this out, because I want to game the system, and you tell me if I'm making a mistake here, but I think I've figured this out.
All right.
So the fantasy only holds while you're on the island, and everyone wants to go back and fix some sort of regret.
Yeah.
But then that's not going to stick. When you go back...
Yes.
To your real life, everything resets.
Yeah.
You go forward or go looking for knowledge and seeking answers, those will still be true, even if you don't have it like written down in front of you anymore.
Yeah.
So if you can like see into the future and then go back to the present, then you can have the knowledge of what stocks will be big in the future or what
so
cool
we're
shit's
doing
about
it
to happen.
Like Gwen's character, where she wants like her husband, like another chance at that, where she would have lost that when she left.
Yeah, she leaves the island, her child is unexisted.
Yeah, that's something they don't really bring up. Like, she'd have to stay on the island with the child, with Rourke, forever for that to be maintained.
Right.
I feel like they alluded to it, but they didn't maybe go into it as clearly as it kind of was. Like, he's like, just enjoy them while you have them. Enjoy this experience of having a family.
Yeah. But it's
like, Yeah, but they're not going to be here.
Yeah, because the brothers that were bro-y even said, like, we just wanted fun for a weekend. Like, they at least didn't want theirs or knew it wasn't going to last and it wasn't anything personal. And then obviously torturing, like, if you think it's a hologram, which she, spoiler alert, didn't think so, but torturing a friend, you still have that experience and that, I guess, satisfaction.
A catharsis of revenge.
Yeah. See, they went in for something super simple, and Rourke turned out to be like the most assholish dungeon master ever. He's just like, and you're going to get attacked by pirates.
Yes.
Mean.
So, is there a flaw with my plan of going to the future? I feel like that would work best if it's really a magic island. If it could really give me what the future would be,
it has to be your true fantasy, though, too, right? Because they kind of they questionnaire you and then they prod you some more.
Yeah,
I think that'd be true though, because I am a deeply curious person, so I do want to know how things turn out. I want to see the future.
I want to live forever.
Like if it was just like I get to see the future that I will not make it to, I won't live to see this future, but like I want to see what it would be like 100, 200 years from now. That's totally what the fantasy I'd want to spend a weekend on. But I could also, while there, pick up a goddamn history book and see what happens to my future.
Yeah. You could Back to the Future to it. Just pick up a sports almanac. Yeah.
I'd have to memorize it because like the book would disappear, but like I could flip through it and be like, all right, what are some major events I can clearly remember? And
you can make good bank just by remembering one or two.
Yeah.
Well, and is it the real version of what the future would be or your fantasy version of what the future would be that the island would provide?
See, because I'm doing it from a sense of curiosity, I feel like it would be the real future from the point unless I change things. So I think it wouldn't necessarily still happen exactly the same way because any changes I make would change the timeline.
Butterfly effect.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't think it would be a lie perfect future. I think it would be a true future that I would enjoy that would then end up being a lie if I change anything with that knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I gamed Fantasy Island. And if they say I'm not allowed to do that, then yeah, sure, some sex stuff. That'd be great too.
I was going to say, just you can never fail with the sex stuff, especially if you don't remember it.
They probably got really good sex stuff in the future, guys. They're probably super liberal and cool with stuff.
Super liberal and, amazing antibiotics.
Yeah, amazing antibiotics. Zero G. Got to add new options that we don't even know about now.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's okay and...
Sex.
Everything's okay. That's it. We'll stop there. Anything's okay.
Anything's okay.
It's all good. It's all good.
Full stop.
Full stop.
Any other final thoughts about Fantasy Island and the fantasies you would have there?
No, I'm just glad. Yeah, you've actually opened up a huge philosophical quandary for me because I'm realizing now that everybody that went to the island had to be super damaged.
Yeah.
Because they've got something that so bothers them every waking moment of every day that they literally are this, I can't live with this. I have to change it. And knowing that it's the butterfly effect, you're messing everything else up, right?
Maybe more people have some sort of damage to them and we should give them that space without having to give them a Magic Fantasy Island. Maybe we all have our own damage of some sort. And we should just deal with each other with that understanding and try to be each other's less evil Mr. Rourke's.
I think that's beautiful. That's a beautiful sentence.
Right. Try to leave it on a positive note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say wasn't going to be positive. So that's why I kept quiet. I was like, no, I'm looking at the time.
I'm the Fantasy Island. You're the Blumhouse. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Marcel. Thank you so much for joining me, Megan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to all the audience who listened along, and we'll have another movie for you soon. Well, that's what we came up with, but we want to hear from you. Tell us your thoughts. You can find us on Twitter at BreakAWishPod, email breakawishpod@gmail.com, join the BreakAWish discussion group on Facebook, and you can support the show by writing a review, telling a friend, or buying a t-shirt on TeePublic. All this information at breakawish.ca. For more Marcel St. Pierre, you can buy one of his two delightful books of comedic short stories on his website, shortweird.com. For more Megan McConnell, you can keep tabs on her on Instagram at ragdollvintage. This is a Kicks and Giggles Entertainment production, hosted by Maddox Campbell, theme by Matthew Reed, cover art by Justin Langford, and a proud member of the Sonar Podcast Network. More podcasts at thesonarnetwork.com. So, what would you wish for?
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Hello, my buds, my pals, my friends, hopefully some new friends. I'm Trisha Black, a queer East Coast comedian living in the big city of Toronto, and the host of One More Round with Trisha Black. That's me. The podcast where I sit down and have a drink or two or three with a variety of guests. Folks that I want to get to know, people that inspire me, and friends who I just adore. It's kind of like an East Coast kitchen party, except if that kitchen were a studio and the conversation was the party. Brought to you by the Sonar Network, One More Round with Trisha Black is available every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your sweet pods. So grab a drink and stick around for one more round. See what I did there?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.